Now, changes to the way cars can travel in the capital were due to come into effect next month as part of a plan to reduce congestion and pollution. But in recent weeks, a number of business groups called for the plans to be paused until their concerns were considered, which was accepted. The Dublin City Centre Traders Alliance yesterday submitted their report to Dublin City Council, outlining the potential economic impact of this transport plan, which they say will lead to severe loss in trade and jobs. Retail Excellence is a member of this alliance, and its chief executive is Jean McCabe. She explained her members' concerns to a reporter, Charlie McGinley.
There is a real fear and a great concern on the impact this is going to have on retail sales and jobs. I think the report out yesterday highlights, you know, that nearly 1,700 jobs could be directly affected by the reduction of the car customer coming into the city. And what they're really concerned about is, you know, their livelihoods and the livelihoods of their team and their staff, how they pay their mortgage at the end of every week. And, you know, we're fearing that it could result in a drop in retail spend, which will result in job losses, increase in vacancy within the city, and that just brings in more antisocial behaviour. And the city, as we know, is still certainly recovering from the riots, and our request for a pause is on the basis that the city is just too fragile right now for this plan, and that it wouldn't be able to sustain any negative impact. So what we're asking for is to be able to sit down with DCC and to be able for the voices of retailers to be considered and their concerns taken on board.
The Traders Alliance commissioned this report and paid for it. Can you understand why there would be some scepticism about its findings?
I think the first thing to note here is that this report is solely based on data from the NTA and from Dublin City Council. And the second thing to note is that customers who travel by car into the city represent over a quarter of the spend, and that's according to the NTA's own data. A survey by our own retail members would say they say 40% of the spend they see in their stores is coming from that car customer. So I think it's fair to say that the car customer is a major contributor to the retail spend in the city. Now, this transport plan looks to reduce those customers by 40%, and it was left to the business community to do an impact assessment, an economic impact assessment. And the point here is the business community shouldn't have had to commission an impact assessment report. It should have been done long before now.
And Jean, is legal action a possibility by your members if the plan proceeds without any changes?
No, nobody wants to get to the point where legal action is required. We want to be able to sit down with DCC and the NTA and other stakeholders and assess how this plan could be delivered.
Jean McCabe there outlining the impact of cars not being able to pass through parts of Dublin City at certain times if this plan goes ahead. However, others would challenge some aspects of their report, including Brian Caulfield, who's Professor of Transportation at Trinity College Dublin. He also states that traffic congestion is costing Dublin staggering amounts annually. And he joins me now. Brian, good morning.
Good morning.
You heard there, Jean, outlining the real fear of job losses as well as trade. What would you say about their economic impact assessment? Like, can you understand their worries of livelihoods being at risk?
I can completely understand that concern. And internationally, where these types of measures are brought into cities, in the run-up to them, there's always concern. There's always worry. What we see internationally is that those fears tend to not pan out, and cities that introduce these things tend to keep them. But if you look specifically at the report that was commissioned, one of the first things is the survey on the spend. It was a survey done on Henry Street and Grafton Street, and we know typically on pedestrianised streets, people tend to spend more. The other thing it says is that 65% of the people that travel into the city on a daily basis, 365 days a year, spend on average about 100 euro each. So that doesn't even take into account the weekend impacts. The final thing I would say is that the report doesn't take into account that 60% of the car traffic that's in and going in, and these are the numbers that they've used, pass through the city based upon the NTA figures. So there's some things in it on my first reading that kind of jar a little bit, and I'm not sure if the overall figure that they've produced is that robust.
Now they would say that their report is based on data from the National Transport Authority and Dublin City Council as well, but the car customer, we have to agree, is a major contributor to footfall regardless of divisions over what percentage. But would you accept that any changes would encourage Dubliners to seek shopping and recreation opportunities perhaps in suburban areas and shopping centres instead of the city if they can't pass through?
Yeah, of course, that type of thing would happen. The people that would continually want to perhaps drive into an area, that's what would happen. But if you look to the UK, there are examples over there that, you know, the spend factors that they looked at where the car driver was spending more. A lot of the international research would kind of dispute that the cyclist and the pedestrian and those that use public transport would spend more, perhaps spend less, but would spend it more frequently. So there is concern, obviously, that when you remove the car user, that this is going to happen. But internationally, though, as I said before, those kind of fears don't really come to pass.
Yeah, and you just mentioned there that, I mean, it does take time. Other cities have done it. It isn't a simple process, and that changes will probably sometimes have initial costs. But the Trader Alliance is not requesting that the transport plan should be axed. They just wanted pause while their fears are addressed. Do you think that is reasonable?
Well, I suppose any delays in any of these plans will result in them perhaps being diluted, and I suppose that's the fear. This plan was flagged well in advance that it was coming, and you know that there was.
Do you think it should go back to the drawing board? Do you think it should go back to the drawing board?
Definitely not. No, we go back to the drawing board far too often on transport plans in this country. And as I mentioned in my article in the Irish Times yesterday, it's taken us 30 years to deliver 40 kilometres of light rail in the city. So delays and like this have us in the situation we're currently in. I think we need to be brave and we need to push through.
And you make the point about, I mean, the call for this really is to make Dublin more green and clean. And you argue that the congestion that is costing the city already, it's a staggering amount.
So in 2022, it costs the city about 360 million euro. And by 2040, if we do nothing, it could cost 1.5 billion. That's just the congestion, people being delayed in their cars. Also, one of the things that's missing from the report is air quality, that the air quality figures that we have in the city aren't great, and we need to improve that. Safety as well. So there's a whole heap of things that are kind of missing from an economic analysis that you would expect to see.
Now, this is a phased approach of this transport plan. We're meant to hear in about 2 weeks if Dublin City Council decide to go ahead with it next month. If, though, phase one is delayed, would you be worried how this will impact the full rollout when it's meant to be fully in place by 2028?
Yes, I would. And these delays, I think, as I said, the fear would then be that it would be diluted. And the other thing that I would say as well, to meet our climate targets in transport, we need to be very brave at the moment. We need to push through in things like this. And if we can't do this, and if Dublin can't lead by example, when we have the best public transport network in the state, how are we expecting other cities and towns and villages to decrease their emissions and give up car parking spaces and give up road space to cyclists and to public transport?
Now, a lot of concerns have been raised just around the impact this will have, and some people who need to commute to work and who maybe can't use public transport due to mobility issues and they can't afford taxis. So that will inevitably impact them, won't it?
That will have impacts. So I suppose one of the things that I do think that the council need to do a better job on is addressing those impacts. The thing about the plan, I suppose, is that we collect a huge amount of data on a daily basis in Dublin, and we'll be able to see the impacts of the plan pretty quickly. I would say we'd need to give it a couple of months to bed in to see where the traffic reorganises itself. But the City Council do have a responsibility to make sure that the traffic that's moving out of the city centre isn't just causing problems elsewhere. So it is a live plan. There's nothing that they're going to put in that couldn't be taken out quickly if unforeseen circumstances happen and certain traffic impacts that are undesirable appear.
Okay, Brian Caulfield, Professor of Transportation at Trinity College Dublin. Thanks for speaking to us this morning.